Hello, and welcome to Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy, where we want everyone represented and empowered in our democratic republic. Citizen 411 is powered by the League of Women Voters. We're nonpartisan and never promote candidates. We help people understand the issues so they can vote responsibly. I'm Tracy Riley Kelly.
I'm Teresa Torres.
And I'm Rachel Bancroft.
So do you all remember last week? We celebrated the semi-quincentennial, or some of us say 250th, anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, our country's birthday. Our republic began after a seven-year war to leave Britain. We celebrate the founders and their vision for a nation built on due process and a rallying cry that we wanted no monarchy, no kings in America. There's a primary coming up next month on Tuesday, August 4th. Ballots will be mailed by July 17th. Expect them to arrive in your mailbox no later than July 23rd. And starting July 28th, only in-person registrations are allowed to register and receive a ballot for the August 4th, 26th primary. The League of Women Voters will also be holding candidate forums at the downtown Vancouver Community Library.
Our guest today, Jeannie Canvanis, has been volunteering since she was in college over 30 years ago. For almost 9 years, she served on the Vancouver Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission and as their chair since 2022. She's also serving on the RCO's, you'll have to tell us what that is, Jeannie, Forest Land Preservation Grant Committee, and on IQ Credit Union's IQ for Kids Grant Committee. Starting in July, Jeannie will be serving on the Fort Vancouver Regional Library Board of Trustees. In 2024, she was awarded the Florence B. Wager V. Formation Award by the Parks Foundation of Clark County. This award celebrates dedicated volunteers who go over and above to enhance our community's outdoor spaces. Recently, in March 2026, she was recognized with a Douglas fir tree planted in her name at Vancouver Center Point Park Volunteer Tree Grove. This honor from the City of Vancouver is for dedicated volunteer contributions to our community. Wow, that's a nice one. Huh?
That is.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Welcome, Jeannie. Well, our first question is always, what do you do question? We've learned that you left your service at Parks and have just been appointed to the Fort Vancouver Library, but we'd like to begin with your work at the Parks and Rec Commission. What does this body do, and what does a chair do?
So as Vancouver's Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission, our main role is to advise city staff in regards to their plans. So basically, council gives staff their objectives, whether it's based on comp plan, budget, kind of what the future is. Staff then figures out what they are able to do with said budget, and then they start to enact certain things, projects. And during those projects, advisory commission gets to advise them. Typically, it's offering feedback on different parks that are coming in. It can be a variety of things. Parks are involved with the community centers, special events, standard parks. So there's a big variety of different things that we get to advise them on, but we don't get to specifically tell them how to do their job, which I think sometimes people often think they get to do.
How did you first become involved with the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission, and what made you want to serve?
That's a great question. My daughter, I have two kids. When she was seven, she saw a sign for the Parks Department that was to start a nature club. So we did. We called it Kids Step Into Nature, and we ran it for about 7 years, and we would visit lots of different parks. First, we started local, and then as soon as we kind of went through all those parks, we went further and further out. And a friend of mine, one of the moms in the group, had mentioned that there was an opening in PRAC, and she suggested that I apply. And so that was how I got initially into it. I'd never heard of it before.
So that's what you call it is PRAC.
That's the correct. Okay. That's the slang.
Too bad it couldn't be PARC, P-A-R-C.
Exactly.
Oh, well. So I think a lot of people see parks as playgrounds or trails, but there's obviously a lot more to it. What did serving on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission teach you about the role that parks play in the community?
I love this question, just because I think that is such a typical thought. And while I was serving, I saw the Parks Department become what I would call superheroes. So when I believe it was Cher that backed out of the Navigation Center, Parks stepped in and took on that role. The reason was because they were used to working with the community and the community centers. So they took on something that they'd never done before and started taking over that. Then COVID hit and pretty much wiped out their entire staff. But some were called back to do COVID sites and help with that. Something they've never had to do before. Then, as soon as that kind of started to come back and we get back into the role of things, they brought on cultural services and they incorporated that into their format. So now it's Vancouver Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Services. So they took on all these different varieties of things that they'd never done before. So, and that's just the offhand type of things. Otherwise, it's your standard type of things that you would think you would normally see within a parks department.
Yeah. So what surprised you the most once you started serving on the commission, other than that you can't tell them what to do?
Yeah, that was the most interesting to me. And you know, when you start a new role, you never quite know what you're doing anyway. Hard part for me was first studying, understanding acronyms. There are so many acronyms that are used within the city of Vancouver, and I'm sure within most city governments. But what I kind of expected was what I got from my interview for PRAC, which was how do we build community with our parks? So for the first 2 months, I kept bringing the director of parks ideas, and I would bring her so many ideas, and I'd make a nice little packet for her every week. And after about a month, I realized that's not what they're looking for from me. They're looking for kind of feedback.
Yeah.
So it was pretty interesting to kind of, it was a learning moment.
Janie, how does public input factor into the work of a commission like PRAC? And were there times when community feedback changed or shaped that conversation?
Yes. So within PRAC, there were, for the most part, we didn't get a whole lot of community feedback, but on certain ones we did, because parks can be very controversial. And since parks are for everyone, everyone has an opinion of what their park should look like. And so Du Bois Park was probably the most controversial, I shouldn't say, probably controversial, and most community feedback that we got. There were a lot of people, and it mostly came down to the basketball court. Lots of community, well, I shouldn't say lots. There were a few community members that did not want a basketball court. There were others that really, really did. And it turned out that the kids, to me, were the most persuasive, especially one in particular, which she came and she spoke. She was probably 12, 13. She was a babysitter. And she explained how unsafe it was when she babysat. She would not let her kids that she was taking care of out onto the streets to go play basketball because it wasn't safe. And therefore, having a park with a basketball court would be much more safe for them. That was a very persuasive argument coming from a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. So why is it important for boards and commissions to include a variety of perspectives? I think you just gave us an example and lived experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%. Parks are for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the more diverse of voices you can get in regards to our parks, then the better the parks are going to be. And I feel like Vancouver got really amazing, actually, at doing community outreach. And they would provide these community opportunities for outreach opportunities for the community to come together. And at each table would be these maps of the park. And then there would be little pieces that they could put on what they wanted in their park and how much it cost. So they would say, here's our budget, build your park. And you were with people you had no idea. One person adamantly, all she wants is a dog park. Kids want their play structure and their water park. You know, parents want their workout area. And they all had to agree. It was a beautiful thing to witness because they all got to participate and see what it really feels like to create a park and appease as many people as possible.
Yeah.
There should be more of this.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe we could do the federal budget that way.
So, Janie, we just have a few more minutes before break, but I wonder, when resources are limited, how do commissions decide which projects and services should be prioritized?
So that doesn't usually end up to the commissions. That's usually city staff that will decide, okay, these are going to be our priorities, and these are the reasons why. And based off of that, we can sometimes give some feedback of, okay, I can see why you're wanting this area, but have you thought about this? Or, but for the most part, that's usually decided by the city staff.
All right, well, we need to take a quick break. We've been speaking today with Janie Cavanis about the Parks Commission and serving the public on commissions in general. You are listening to Citizen 411, your information directory for democracy.
Shriners Children's has opened a new pediatric orthopedic clinic in Vancouver. The clinic offers evaluation and follow-up care for children and teens with orthopedic conditions, including sports-related injuries. Care is available regardless of a family's ability to pay. Details about the Vancouver clinic are at shrinerschildrens.org/Vancouver Clinic.
Welcome back to Citizen 411, and we're your hosts, Tracy Riley Kelly, Rachel Bancroft, and Teresa Torres. Today, we have been talking with Janie Cavanis about the serving on local commissions. Well, Janie, you recently moved from the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission to the Fort Vancouver Regional Libraries Board of Trustees. What drew you to libraries and to serving in this new role?
This is a great question. When my kids were little, my husband's job changed. And so he had been telecommuting about 75% of the year. And now he was traveling. Now he was telecommuting full time. And he needed us out of the house. And he needed us not to spend money. And it was actually that way that we discovered both parks and libraries. If the weather was nice, we'd hit all the different parks. If the weather was bad, we'd visit the libraries. So that was how we really first got involved with the libraries locally, yes.
Libraries today offer far more than books. Our own library, right? An extraordinary number of other kinds of things you can get from it. What role do you think libraries play in strengthening communities?
So libraries tend to be, I've found, kind of similar to parks, right? They've taken on all these other roles than they used to be, right? People used to think of libraries as just books, and now there are so many other things. They, you know, hand out food during the summers. They help with job searches and tech support and just a plethora of different things. And what was the second part of your question?
Do they strengthen communities?
Yes. 100%. I think first and foremost, you know, libraries are for everyone. And society has become very selective in what we hear, what we listen to. And with libraries, they are a blending pot of everybody. And that to me is unbelievably special. And we need more of that so that we can experience different people from different cultures, from different backgrounds. So I love that part of libraries, which are the same with parks, right? Open for everyone. They provide knowledge and opportunities for everyone at no cost. They now provide resources and tools. There's the checkout tool, sheds, love that, or the lending library. This allow us these spaces to explore different worlds and different perspectives, and books in general just allow us to walk in somebody else's shoes. And they do it all for free, right? It doesn't cost anybody to walk through the doors, which is wonderful.
I'll say amen to that. Yeah, I mean, where else can you get? I mean, I've looked at their lending library, and there's so many crazy things you can check out.
Yeah. Seed library.
Yep, seed library too. Yep. I just saw that they had a water pressure.
Yep. Oh, wow.
You can check that out.
Metal detector. But moving on. Okay. The Fort Vancouver Regional Library Board has recently been at the center of some very public and sometimes contentious community conversations. Did that climate influence your decision to step into this role, and what made you want to serve at this particular moment?
So I would say yes and no. I would say that the libraries have been controversial since, I think it was 2019 with Drag Queen Story Hour, mm-hmm. and still comes up today, right? And I remember wanting to serve on the Board of Trustees years ago, but these positions are open very infrequent, mm-hmm. right? They're long periods of time. And so I remember marking on my calendar when the next opening was going to be. So I would look at the term and I'd say, okay, the next one's not going to be open until December. And I marked my calendar. Didn't realize that they do all the, you know, interviewing and things like that months before. Yeah. And so I had missed my window. Wow. But I had absolutely been thinking of this position for years prior. But yes, now that this kind of controversy is going on, absolutely wanted to step in and be there. Yeah.
A lot of people may assume that they're not qualified to serve on a board or a commission. And curious, just what would you say to somebody who's hesitant to apply?
So over the years, I have seen a lot of different people serve on boards and commissions. Personally, I think there's the ideal candidate. I tend to see a lot of people serve on boards and commissions because it's kind of required of them, maybe within their job. They have a high title and they need mm-hmm. to serve on certain boards and commissions. The ones that I see that are the most effective and most passionate and involved are those that truly have a connection with that board and commission, whatever the reason is, whether it's transportation, whether it's aging, whether it's parks, right? As long as they have some interest and passion. And truly, it is, boards and commissions are something that I tell everyone. It's what you put into it is what you get out of it. So if you really, at this point, like when my kids were in high school, it was a little bit harder for me to give 100% because I was at sports games, I was at different places. But then once my kids left, I could really put a lot into it. Or when my kids were littler, I could do that as well. So it just depends. But ideally, I love all different backgrounds coming to boards and commissions. And don't think that you aren't qualified if you don't have certain titles or certain abilities. Everybody has a point and a perspective. And if you've got a personal experience with it, 100%, go for it.
That's great. Janie, looking back on your time with the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission and ahead to your work with the Library Board, what has public service meant to you personally?
I love this question just because I get to talk about my parents. So my parents were amazing role models. From when we were young, they were volunteering. Dad's motto was always leave it better than you found it. We brought garbage bags with us wherever we went. We were cleaning things up. When my parents retired, they joined, I think it was the Peace Corps, like VOCA, and then their church missions. They traveled to Cameroon, Papua New Guinea, Slovakia. My dad was a volunteer with Red Cross. He was the legal liaison between FEMA and Red Cross during 9/11. Wow. So they flew him out there to assist with that. So amazing role models, and always taught us about how important it was in our roles as citizens to give back to our community. Mm. And not only give back, but truly find love. And I remember when Teresa was retiring, I spoke at her retirement party.
Because
you
were the president of the Friends of the Library group. She was volunteering, yes.
And one of the things I talked about was a banner that my grandma had on her wall. It was a picture, and it said, "Bloom where you are planted." Mm-hmm. And I truly feel like public service is an opportunity for you to do that. Bloom right where you're planted.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And I really do like the idea of passion. Everybody has yes. something they care about. So why not find a way that you can serve in the public?
Absolutely.
All right. A lot of people may not realize how much local boards and commissions influence everyday life. Why do these groups matter to the community? You've sort of touched on that, but.
Yeah. I mean, from transportation, having input, if you're a biker, it's great to have somebody on that board who's a biker who can give mm-hmm. some feedback and relay some concerns that they might have in regards to transportation. If you're aging, right, have some input into what you want to see happen within the city that might help you long term. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely say boards and commissions impact the community every day just because there are so many opportunities to have a say in your community and be involved.
I'm go ahead. So we have a little extra time here. What book are you reading right now? read nonfiction only, right?
I tend to read mostly nonfiction. Yeah. So it all depends. In my car, I have Robin Wall Kilmer's Gathering Moss. On my phone, I've currently got, because I love to also listen to audiobooks, especially Robin Wall Kimmerer, if you've ever heard an audiobook.
I love her audiobooks.
Amazing. And she'll speak her native language, and you just go, oh, that's just beautiful. On that one, I've got Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Next to my bed, I've got Amy Tan, because Amy Tan's going to be presenting at our fundraiser.
She is. Yes.
We need to announce that.
Yeah. And she has a wonderful book out. It's called The Backyard Bird Chronicles. So during COVID, she really got into nature journaling, which I love to nature journal. And I am very much fangirling over her right now at the moment.
May I just share that I have an autographed hummingbird print from that book when I donated to the American Audubon Society?
Oh, I am so jealous. Yes, she's an amazing artist, an amazing writer. So I've got three of her books right by my bedside. I also have a wonderful book downstairs next to my couch that's called How Can I Help Saving Nature with Your Yard? So I'm slowly learning about, I'm trying to redo backyard habitat certification with my yard.
I need to do that,
And have just learned how amazing oak trees are. So I've got two oak trees going, and I think I've planted 100 native plants at the moment, but I really need some help just cleaning it up. So, yeah, those are just a few of my books.
Well, and I love the fact that you're reading multiple books because you know what? Life is short, so you got to have a book in every location.
Absolutely. And one of my favorite ways to read books, especially history, is to read it from different perspectives. So, like when it was Hiroshima and dropping the bomb, I had to wrap my head around how that happened. And so I remember reading a book from the scientist's perspective, from the government's perspective, from the survivors' perspectives, from conscientious objectors' perspectives, and just being able to see and understand all those different reasons gives you a better way to understand history rather than just hearing it from one perspective.
Well, and of course, one thing we all would say is you can find all of those at your
local library, 100%
for free. Now, one of the reasons that we were eager to speak to you, Janie, and we've spoken to some other people on commissions, is that we are at the League would really like to encourage more civic participation, just for everybody.
Correct.
So in kind of words to the people out there, did for you serving on boards change how you think about boards and community participation?
100%, and not just boards and community participation, but government, city government, and really understanding the voice that we have as citizens to speak to our city government. I spoke frequently to city council when PRAC voted on an initiative. I would go and present, and when it was personal, I would explain, you know, here's, now I'm speaking as a chair, now I'm taking off that hat, I'm going to speak to you as an individual. For an example, the Vic that's coming in, 176 acres off of, it's the old HP property, beautiful, beautiful location. There's cows in the middle of the field, right? People in that community, we love the cows. We really love the trees. And there was so much feedback from the community. I rounded up voices on nextdoor.com. We've got people together to advocate because there was a forest parcel. I think it was 23 acres that they were going to take down to like 8 or 7. We were able to get the city to save, I think, 14 acres of that. But it just, it's, if you come down 192nd, you see this beautiful skyline of evergreens that would have disappeared. So,
what about the cows?
The cows are going to go away, unfortunately. Yes, that is very sad. But I'm really excited with the plans that they have come back with. I hope, you know, it always kind of changes along the way. But I hope their master plan stays with what they've got at the moment. I think it's going to be a very nice piece.
Well, in the last 2 minutes we've got, what are you looking forward to looking ahead, right? And the library surely has some exciting things ahead they're planning, huh?
They do, and I'm very excited. We've finally rolling out the Washougal Library.
Nice.
I think Ridgefield Library just came in. Just got some amazing projects in the pipeline that have kind of been put on hold for a little while that are exciting to finally see coming to fruition. I'm super excited for the community. I've been to the Washougal Library, and it is way too small for their community. So it'll be nice to see that.
Yeah.
Well, that is our show. Thank you so much, Jamie. This is Tracy Riley Kelly, Teresa Torres, and Rachel Bancroft. Powered by the League of Women Voters, Citizen 411 is produced at KXRW's nonprofit community radio station, 99.9 on your dial. You can also listen to a podcast of the show by going to the Citizen 411 page on the KXRW website. If you like what you hear, I'd like you to consider making a contribution to help KXRW out. Just finished a fund drive right now. And you can learn about the League of Women Voters by going online at www.lwvclarkcounty.org or visit us on Facebook.
Support for KXRW comes from On Point Community Credit Union, with 8 branches in Southwest Washington offering checking, credit cards, home equity lines of credit, and more. On Point. People are the point. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity. Learn more at onpointcu.com.